usually picks up pretty good. Okay, this is Yanni Chapman, and I'm here at the home of Miss Jardine Alston. Is that, how do you spell your name?
J-E-R-D-E-N-E.
D-E-N-E, Jardine Alston. And we're at 202 North Graham Street in Chapel Hill. And I'm going to talk, Ms. Alston is going to try to tell me about the civil rights movement in Chapel Hill and her role in it. And I just wanted to ask you, it's okay with you for, you know, if we record this and if it's a public record and it can be used in writings or articles or presentations?
Yes, it is.
Okay, great. Let me get a little bit of information about you and your family and your history in this area so that, you know, we can know where you're coming from. Where do your roots go back to?
Well, I was born in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. My parents was born here also. Well, my mother was born here. And my father was born in Fitchburg, North Carolina. So the family roots is around Chatham County, Orange County.
Okay.
And, but I have lived here all my life.
And what was your mother's name?
Leatrice Austin.
Leatrice?
Well, Farron. Yes. L-E-A-T-R-I-C-E.
Uh-huh.
Leatrice Austin. Farrington.
Farrington. And then she married your father?
Yes.
What was his name?
Louis Alston.
Louis Alston. A-L-S-T-O-N, right? And he was from Chatham.
From Chatham.
Uh-huh. Right. How'd she meet a guy from Chatham?
Well, who knows?
Who knows?
Courtship is strange.
Uh-huh. Did you know either of your grandparents?
Yes. I knew my mother's parents very well because we always lived with them.
Oh, you lived with them?
Yes. Elliot Farrington and I knew Farrington.
Elliot?
Elliot.
Elliot
uh-huh.
Farrington.
Uh-huh.
And
Ayula.
Ayula? How did you spell, how do you spell Ayula?
I-U-L-A.
Uh-huh. And were they from Chapel Hill as well?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They lived in Orange County also.
Uh-huh. And where, you lived in your grandparents' house?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And where was that located?
On University Lake Road.
University Lake Road. So a little bit outside of Chapel Hill.
Sort of.
That was out in the country in those days.
It was in the country those days.
Uh-huh. Was it a dirt road or was it paved in those days?
Dirt.
Uh-huh. How about your father's parents. Did you know them?
I know her name was Izzy Alston and Nora Alston.
Izzy Alston and Nora.
Nora.
But you didn't know them personally?
No, I didn't.
Uh-huh. And they were from Chatham also?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Do you have any idea how far back your mother's side of the family goes in Chapel Hill? Did you ever know your great-grandparents?
I did know my great-grandmother.
Your great-grandmother? Now, what was her name?
Sally Burnett.
Sally Burnett.
Rigsby.
Rigsby. She married a Rigsby? Uh-huh. And do you know the name of the guy that she married? His
no.
first name? But he was
I
a Rigsby.
Yes. Was
uh-huh. Did you ever hear any, I mean, was family history something that was talked about in your family by your grandparents or your parents or
more so now we're getting more into the family type relationship where we, you know, getting way back. We have one cousin that's doing like the family, you know, tree, and so they are digging way back and seeing who came from where.
So that's what you're
oh,
doing
yeah.
now. Nowadays, but it wasn't so much something that you did.
No, well, we was just one big happy family with, you know, my grandmother, her children, and her grandchildren,
mm-hmm.
my cousins. Everybody lived with my grandmother.
Uh-huh. And did you live on a farm?
No.
Not a farm?
No farm.
Okay. Well, what kind of work did your grandparents and your parents do?
Well, my grandmother didn't work. My grandfather did. He worked for the McClamrocks.
McClamrocks. Sandy McClamrock, who was a mayor, I believe.
Mm-hmm. That's who he worked for.
Uh-huh. What kind of work did he do for him?
Not much of anything. More so of working around the house, the yards, that
uh-huh.
type thing. He didn't have a whole lot to do.
Uh-huh.
But that's where he worked.
Okay. That was your grandfather?
My grandfather.
Your grandfather. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And what about your mother and father? What kind of work did they do?
My mother did domestic work where she, you know, did home cleaning, that type thing. And my father worked at the Leggett Myers.
Oh, Leggett and Myers in Durham. Did either one of them talk very much about their jobs or their experiences at work?
No.
No? Did you ever hear any discussions about slavery in your family?
No.
You know, if anybody in your family was ever a slave?
No.
And, let's see now. Okay, so we've talked about your family history a little bit. And, what year were you born?
1944.
Okay. And can you tell me about the schools that you attended?
In the first grade, I went to a school in the country.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a little one-room classroom, and we had to walk to school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just across the hill, across the lake,
right.
type thing, a branch light. And it was called
Damascus School.
And I only went there 1 year. Then we went to Northside.
Northside Elementary.
Uh-huh, second grade.
Do you remember the teacher at Damascus?
Yes. Rosa Holloway.
Uh-huh. Was she from Chapel Hill?
Well, I don't know that she was from Chapel Hill, but she's always been around for all the reunions and everything.
Oh, yeah?
And she passed away last year, I think,
uh-huh.
a year before last. But she always lived in this area, in the Durham area.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know where she was original from, Chapel Hill or not.
When you say reunions, do you mean
family
reunions?
Family reunions, that type of thing.
Okay. Okay, so you went to Northside Elementary in second grade,
and then I went to Lincoln High School.
And then you went to Lincoln High School. You went all the way through Lincoln?
Yes.
And graduated what year?
1962.
And can you tell me what it was like growing up? Let's see, now you lived out on by the lake, right?
Right.
So how did you get to Northside?
We rode the bus.
There was a bus that
yeah.
came? Mm-hmm. And you want me to turn off the
yes.
Okay. Okay, so you rode the bus to Northside. And could you say a little bit about, as a child growing up, were you aware of race relations? What kinds of experiences did you have with relations between black and white?
No, we did not have any problems that we...
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
I guess you.
That we encountered during those, you know, like during elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
We just went to school and we was back home. And then, like, on the weekends, sometime my grandfather would take us, you know, into town on the back of his truck.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go to Durham, which my mother and father lived in Durham at that time.
Uh-huh.
And so we really didn't have any real relationship with whites.
Mm-hmm.
We only, you know, we're just a family.
Uh-huh. A big family.
Big family.
Uh-huh.
Forrest actually going out to mingle with the white folks. We never had to do it.
Uh-huh.
We were just always to ourselves.
Until
we grew up, you know.
Right. Did you come to the movie theater in Chapel Hill ever?
No, we didn't. We did not go to the movies.
No?
No.
How about where would you do your shopping?
Well, I didn't do any shopping. We didn't do shopping as children. We did not go.
Uh-huh.
You know, shopping.
Okay.
Now, my grandparents, they would go, and they went to Hearn's Grocery out of, and Anderson and Risby Groceries.
Were they out near where you, in Carver?
In Carver.
Uh-huh. Hearn and Andrews Rigsby?
Mm-hmm.
And those were white people, right?
Mm-hmm. And everybody knew my grandfather.
Uh-huh.
You know, they knew, all of them always knew my grandfather.
Why was your grandfather so well known?
I don't know why my grandfather was so well known.
Okay. And when you started getting a little bit older, did you develop certain ideas about race as a result of getting out in the world more?
Oh, yeah. Like, you always knew that, say, you know, they always had the signs up, you know, at the drugstore, you know, blacks or white, and that, you know, your water fountain is at the bus station, because we did catch the bus to Durham a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the blacks was on one side and whites was on the other side.
The water fountains?
Water fountains.
And then, how about the buses? Were the buses segregated? White?
Yes.
Would be in, how would that work?
The white was being in the front. You had to go to the back of the bus.
Uh-huh.
And you would always start filling up from the back of the bus.
Start filling up from the back? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Did you ever have any problems on the bus?
No.
Rosa Parks didn't ride your bus?
No. No problems.
Uh-huh. And were you, let's see, if you were, what year did you say you were born?
1944.
Okay. What were the first things that you remember that had to do with black people fighting for civil rights?
Well, you know, really, I never had any problems in Chapel Hill.
Mm-hmm.
In the 60s, when they started the civil rights, the reason I became a part of it was, you know, they sent out flyers saying that they was going to have demonstrations for the rights of the black people.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you wanted to be a part of it, you know, to come to the meetings. So I started going to the meetings, and then that really drew your focus towards what was really going on and how you was really being discriminated against. And so that, you know, that's why I got involved.
Mm-hmm. Now, and when did you get involved? Let me break down the times for you.
I got involved in 63.
In 63?
Yes.
Okay.
I was a freshman at North Carolina Central.
In 1963, you were a freshman at North Carolina Central. And were you living at home or were you living in Durham?
I was living at home.
Uh-huh.
I was commuted to Durham.
But there was some civil rights activity in Chapel Hill before that.
Right.
And you weren't a part of that?
No.
Did you know about it?
I got more involved after I had finished school. And, well, at, you know, beginning, like, the first part of, it was like the summer of 63, I think, that I really got involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
Where I really wanted to go and to really be a part of it.
And did you know, were you aware that much of what people were doing, say, in 1960 when people first started picketing Colonial Drug?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. So everybody in school was aware of that. Mm-hmm. There was talk about it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Did you personally know Harold Foster?
Yes.
Or you knew Harold?
Mm-hmm.
And were there people, when you were in high school, let's see, by the time you graduated from high school in 1962, who were your closest friends in high school?
in high school.
Yeah, did you have a crowd that you ran with?
Yeah, Kara Well, Charlene McDougall, and Terry Cobb.
What was the first person's name?
Carrie.
Carrie?
Webb.
Webb?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And the second one was named McDougall. Was she?
Charlene McDougall.
Charlene, was she the daughter of the principal?
Yes.
And her mother was a teacher also, wasn't
right.
she?
Mrs. I was
McDougall.
In her class.
You were in her class? Uh-huh.
Class in the fourth grade.
Uh-huh. And were many of your friends, with this group of friends that you had, how did you come by them? Did you get to be friends in school or neighborhood
oh, yeah.
or
we was always
church
friends
or
in school?
Uh-huh.
No, none of them went to our church. We went to the church in the country.
Uh-huh.
All the friendship was, you know, through school.
Mm-hmm. What about guys? Was there a particular group of guys that you were friends with in school?
Well, really in school we was close with everybody.
Uh-huh.
Your class, everybody was really your friend, but there was one or two that you ran together with.
Mm-hmm.
But we only had 36 kids in your class. So,
uh-huh.
And probably wasn't 200 kids in school, so you know everybody knew everyone.
And was your group? Was there any way that you could describe the four of you who were close friends? Or was there anything special or different about you? I mean, like, were you good students? Were you just rebellious?
We were good students.
You were good students.
Charlene graduated top class, and Carrie was second, and I was third. So.
Uh huh.
He was good students.
So you were the good students. Uh huh.
Not that the other one was bad either.
Okay.
But yes.
And did all of you end up going to college?
No, Carrie did not go. I think she went for a while to a trade school, but you know, she moved and went to Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
She more so liked singing and that type thing, so she sang more with different groups and you know, just around
mm-hmm.
different clubs and that type thing.
Hmm. And had any of your other friends been involved in any of the civil rights activities in Chapel Hill before 1963? No. And, okay, so in 1963, how'd you come by these flyers? I mean, where did they come from? Did you?
Through the churches.
Through the churches,
mm-hmm.
even like your church out
mm-hmm.
in the country? Uh-huh. And what was the name of that church?
Hamlet's Chapel.
Hamlet's Chapel. And what was the name of the minister?
At that time?
Yeah.
Probably Reverend Licey. I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
I think that's who it was.
Well, now who was
this? The CME churches changes ministers.
Uh-huh. They change all. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea how these flyers got out to your church?
Oh. I don't know.
You don't know who brought them? Or,
no.
I mean, was there certain people in the church who were really
that
into civil rights?
That was a part
rights?
Of the... No.
No? So when these flyers showed up at the church,
well,
what kind of...
Well, one thing with the churches, the black churches, if anything is going on that relates to the community, they always send a flyer to the church
mm-hmm.
for them to read any... information, so yeah.
mm-hmm.
so it was probably just sent through the mail to the
uh-huh.
church.
Just like one flyer?
Oh yeah.
And what was it, posted on a bulletin board or?
Yeah.
Did the minister talk about civil rights in church?
No.
Didn't preach about
no.
politics?
No.
uh-huh. So you got, did other people from your church get involved besides you? No? Just
mm-hmm.
you? Okay, and you were a freshman at North Carolina Central. Was there, and there was civil rights movement in Durham going on
oh, yeah.
at that time. Were you part of that as well?
No, more so in Chapel Hill.
More so in Chapel Hill. Did you know like Quentin Baker? You knew Quentin Baker? Before he came over to Chapel Hill?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. So when you first got involved in civil rights in Chapel Hill, what kinds of things were people working on? What were the objectives that people were trying to accomplish?
To give you the same rights to go to Lynch County or any other place that a white person would have the opportunity to go to sit down to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And that was more so that was focusing on the drugstore. All the drugstore had counties, lunch counties, and you could go and order, but you could not sit down.
Uh-huh.
You had to stand at the corner to place your order, receive your order, and you would leave. Same thing with Leo's. You could not go into Leo's at all.
Leo's was a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
On Franklin Street.
On Franklin Street.
You couldn't go in there at all? They didn't allow black people in Leo's?
They did not like a blacks into Leo's.
Were there any restaurants that black people could go into?
I really don't know, because I was not really into going to the different restaurants, that
mm-hmm.
type thing. Anyway, being you didn't do a lot of going out to eat,
right
at home,
right,
that type thing. So,
well, since you lived outside of Chapel Hill and you were going to school in Durham, and you hadn't been involved in civil rights before, who were the people in Chapel Hill that you learned from about what the movement was about, what the objectives of the movement were, what you were going to do, where you were going to go, how to do it, what to expect?
We would go to meetings. They would always have a mass meeting at
the
church.
A mass meeting, uh-huh.
And they would, you know, bring out points there of what was going on. I was going to go back to accomplish, you know, what we, you know, was going to do for that night. Before each meeting or before each sit-in, they would always have a meeting. And you always knew who was going to be the actual, the actual people that was going to sit in for that night, what restaurant or what establishment that you would be going to,
mm-hmm.
to be a part of it. Now, say, you know, you had 100 people, and that 100 people's not going to go and sit in,
mm-hmm.
at, say, the drugstore.
Right.
You know, we only say,
pick a certain group or they would volunteer.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
A certain group that would go in.
And do you remember any of the individuals who would be the ones who were up front explaining what was going to happen the next day and how you were going to do
we
it?
We would have, we would have Pete Doerr.
Who was that?
Pete Doerr.
Pete Doerr?
Uh-huh. And we have Levert. Uh-huh.
Taylor.
Uh-huh. What, just be different leaders.
Who's Pete Doerr?
Well, it's probably not his last name. I pick up names, you know.
Is
like,
it Peter Leek?
Well, Pete Leek was one, and there was another.
There was another Pete.
There's another Pete. Maybe it wasn't Doerr.
Was he from Chapel Hill?
No, he was not from Chapel Hill.
Not from Chapel Hill.
We have Harold Forrester, James Brett. You know, we would have different
James
ones.
James Bretton?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
That would go in to give talks and this type of thing. So,
and when you first started getting involved in civil rights, were any of the people who were up there explaining what was going to happen or how to do it women?
There was, well, probably was in Durham during this time. I can't think of her name. McKissick daughter.
Joycelyn.
See, I can't remember name.
That's okay.
But she was one of those.
She was a leader in Durham.
Yeah, right. And a lot of time we had the people from Durham to come over also.
Mm-hmm. So did she come to Chapel Hill?
Yeah, she was in Chapel Hill at some point.
Uh-huh.
Because like we had people that would come from Durham to be a part of the marches in Chapel Hill.
Uh-huh. How about local women from Chapel Hill?
that would get up to make
yeah.
notes?
Mm-hmm. No?
I don't remember.
Okay. What about in terms of coming, people who came to the meetings and participated in the different activities, you know, who were these people? What age were they? Were they black? Were they white? Were they male? Were they female?
In activities, is that?
Well, let's say like at the church meetings, at the meetings, these mass meetings that you're talking about. Who came to those meetings?
All ages came to the meeting.
All ages?
All ages.
No particular age more than another?
No.
So all ages came to that?
All ages. Because my aunts went, you know, to the meeting.
Uh-huh. And they were older?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Were there any, okay, let's see. And what about male and female? More men than women, more women than men, about the same number?
Probably more women than men, I would think.
More women than men, seemed like, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And what about white people? Did they come to the mass meeting?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And what kind of numbers did they come in? Would there be as many as there were black, or?
It would be just as many.
Just about as many?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Now, was that always true in the movement? Because I know you were, if you got involved in 1963, you went through about a whole year of demonstrations and so forth, and things did change over that period of time. Was there any changes in who came out to the meetings over that period of time, or was it pretty much the same
pretty
from beginning to
the
end?
Same.
Uh-huh. Now, the white people that came out, were they all ages as well?
All ages. A lot of students came out.
College students?
College students.
What about high school students?
I really can't say because, like, I didn't know the high school students itself.
Uh-huh.
Because they were not part of the high school.
Right.
So more of them was more so college students that came out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was that many high school students
mm-hmm.
that was part of it.
Okay. And, When you got involved in all these marches, well, how did the thing start? I mean, did you start marching, or did you get arrested right away, or?
No.
Well, how did it develop?
First we start marching, mm-hmm. and then we will start having the sit-ins. That's when the arrest
mm-hmm.
started.
And when you would march, where would you march?
Say from First Baptist Church or St. Joseph Church or Second Baptist Church down Franklin Street
mm-hmm.
and then back up.
Mm-hmm. Go down to where, like the post office?
Mm-hmm. Go down to the post office and turn around and come back up.
Then you'd be down, marching down the middle of the road?
Most of the time, well, until we had, you know, really got a large number involved, it was more so on the side,
uh-huh.
on the sidewalk.
Uh-huh.
And then when we got more people involved, then the march itself would move to the street.
Mm-hmm.
So they would actually have, you know, the streets.
Do you have any particularly vivid memories of any of those marches? Or, you know, how did you feel?
Well, I felt good.
Uh-huh.
we would always be singing at the time we were marching. And we would just march and sing. And, you know, that would be it. Then we'd come back and then we would talk about, you know, what was the next strategy, whether or not we would march or whether or not we would actually sit in, this type of thing.
Mm-hmm. And these were things that were discussed by the whole group?
By the whole group.
Back at the mm-hmm. church or wherever you were meeting?
Right.
So we're talking about a discussion that involved people of all ages,
right.
both races, mm-hmm. male and female,
mm-hmm.
and then would you vote? How would you decide if there was a disagreement about things?
They would ask who wanted to sit in,
mm-hmm.
you know, today. And, you know, you raise your hand if you want to be one of those that would.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of people that came to the meeting that never, you know, really set in
mm-hmm.
at all.
But would you all make some important decisions at these meetings about what you were going to do? Like, for instance, I mean, would there be debate about what was the best thing to do, or what should you do next at these meetings?
Yes.
There was debate.
There was debate about what was going to do, what was going to be done.
Mm-hmm. And how would these things get decided in the end?
A lot of time we had, they would have, I guess, a steering committee type thing that would get in, and they would work out the strategies. They would bring them back, you know, for you to, if this is something that you want to do and this type of thing. They always, you know, just like any leadership, I mean, you know, if you get 100 people together and you say, we're going to do something, you just can't go out and do it. You got to come to it.
Right.
A decision to do it.
So you had a steering committee.
Yeah.
And they would bring ideas to the group, proposals for what to do. And then if people didn't agree with it, then they would say, well,
they'd let them know.
Yeah, they'd let them know. Mm-hmm. And then they might change the plan. They might not go ahead with it. Uh-huh. And were there any women that you know of who were on the steering committee at different times?
No.
No women?
I don't remember, you know, ladies actually showing the leadership going out. Stepping out in front to be leaders.
Uh-huh.
It was more so, you know.
The men?
Mm-hmm.
And what about specific women? Do you remember Rosemary Ezra?
Yes, I do remember Rosemary.
And she was a white lady.
Right, she was a white lady.
Right, but she was pretty
she
active, right?
She still is white.
She what?
I said she still is white.
She still is. I'm going to interview her tomorrow.
Rosemary was very active. Yeah, I remember well.
Uh-huh. But she didn't step out and speak and do things like that?
Well, I guess she did speak at some during some meetings. In what capacity was she speaking? I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember, you know, her being at, in fact, she was probably at all the meetings.
She was a regular. She
yes.
was a hardcore.
Yep.
Well, what about Gloria Williams?
Gloria was there at some times, but Gloria did not do a whole lot of sitting type thing.
What kind of things did she do?
I really don't remember Gloria actually doing a whole lot of talking at the meetings. I do remember her being there, but boys actually, you know, getting in and doing stuff, I don't remember her.
Was her sister involved at that point, Mary Mason, or had she gone away? You didn't know Mary Mason. She must have been gone.
Yeah, Mary wasn't.
What about Stella Farrar?
Stella was a part of the movement,
but
Boris actually, you know, talking and this type of thing.
Charlie Pearl?
Charlize,
she didn't talk?
No.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they was more involved in just the movement itself, but for them actually getting out and really showing leadership, to me, no.
Okay. And was, let me turn that off while you get this. So what you're saying is that the way you saw it, that the steering committee leaders, the people who were these people elected, or were they, how did they get chosen?
I think some of them were elected to work.
Uh-huh.
Which Charlize probably was one of those that worked with the steering committee, but Forrest were actually,
mm-hmm.
really giving a speech of what you know, going to do next.
Okay. So So these people were mostly men, or all men, possibly all men.
Possible. I mean, I can't remember.
Right.
But,
And the people who spoke at the meetings were mostly men, at least. And yet most of the larger portion of people at these meetings would be women. Mm-hmm. And in during the sit-ins themselves and the marches, would there be more men or more women?
About even.
Okay. So women were participating in large numbers and being very active. But they weren't in certain types of positions,
right.
And they didn't take these certain types of roles. What kind of relationship did you feel that there was a close relationship? Did you feel that there was a close relationship between the leaders, and like the steering committee? During the movement, and the large numbers of people who were participating.
Yes.
So people in the movement who weren't on the steering committee, they knew what was going on.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
I do think that everybody was informed.
Everybody was informed, and people had a voice in deciding things as well, because the steering committee would bring it back to the group for a vote if necessary,
right.
Or for debate. So there was a pretty close, and you all mostly knew each other, right?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
And we got to know more and more people during the movement. So.
Well, tell me about that a little bit. What kind of people did you get to know more and more?
I mean, we just got, closer to the people that was a part of the movement.
Uh-huh.
Whether or not they was black or white.
Right.
We just got more involved, or... We knew each other. We knew the faces. We knew, the names and, that type of thing.
Well, you said that you had grown up and really didn't have to be around white people all that much just because of where you lived and where you went to church, where you went to school. But in the movement, there were a lot of white people.
There was a lot of white people.
So did you and your friends and the people you knew who were black get to know these white people?
Oh, yes.
Became
friends.
Yeah. Uh-huh. What kinds? Tell me about the relate. Was this?
Well, take Ruby.
Ruby Farrington.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh.
She married one of the guys that was in part of the movement.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Do you remember his name? What's his name?
Arthur Simmons.
Okay.
He was a student at UNC.
Uh-huh. And they met through the movement.
They met through the movement.
Uh-huh. And they started dating? They
started dating.
Uh-huh.
She was still in high school. It was the thing at, I guess it was a senior. Pretty close to a senior anyway.
Did you say a senior at UNC?
Uh-huh.
She was in high school. So she was a little bit younger than you?
She's younger than I am.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And now, how did everybody feel about that? Was interracial dating accepted, or was it a new thing, or what?
It was accepted. A new thing? Both.
Both. But it was accepted within the movement? There was no controversy or debate about it?
No.
But it was a new thing, so it hadn't happened that much before the movement?
No.
And did the people who were interracial couples, and were they open about it?
Yes.
Even outside the movement?
Even outside the movement.
Did they get hassled by people in Chapel Hill?
No.
No? No problems. Uh-huh. So that sounds like sort of a big change.
It was
a big change. And how common was it for, black and white to get to be friends and, or let's say to date. How about that? How much was there?
Was it common then?
Yeah. Was it common then?
Yeah.
No. So Ruby and Arthur Simmons, that was a little bit unusual.
Yes.
How unusual? I mean, were they the only ones?
Oh, no. They were not the only one.
Uh-huh. How about yourself? Did you get to be friends with some of the white people in the movement?
Oh, friends, yes.
Uh-huh.
But I never dated any of them.
Uh-huh. Was there any particular people you got to be friends with?
Rosemary was one.
Uh-huh.
Well, that was the closest friend, in which I, you know, see her quite often now.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we still talk, but for as other in the movement, no more than actually seeing them during the time of the movement and that type thing. But my last relationship, no.
Mm-hmm. But with Rosemary, it was a little bit different. Right, and there was a whole group of you, Rosemary, were friends, right? Because I know Shirley Davis says she stays in touch with Rosemary, and my impression is that Rosemary was sort of close with quite a few of you.
Sure.
And seemed like it was a group of women, right?
Yeah.
I mean, did you said you had your four friends in high, I mean your three other friends in high school that was sort
now,
of your,
they were not a part of the movement.
They weren't part of the movement. Uh-huh. Were they around at the time? They were gone? Okay. So did you develop a new group of friends from the movement? Or
no, not really. Not, you know, lasting friendship. No.
Uh-huh. But there was no particular group of women that you and Rosemary hung out with or anything? Mm-hmm. Well, now, there was quite a few other white women involved in the movement besides Rosemary, right?
Yes.
Fair number, right? Yes. How come y'all got to be friends with her? And
I don't know.
I mean, what was different about her?
I really don't know, but she was, you know, like, kind of drawn to everybody.
Kind of drawn to everybody?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And,
but she liked you.
She just had that, I guess, the knack of getting to know people, and
uh-huh.
she was just one of those. No special reason,
uh-huh.
I'm sure.
Okay. So. And what other kinds of work was there that was part of the movement, other than going to the mass meetings and going to the events that were like... you know, sit-ins or marches. Was there other kinds of organizing? Was there fundraising? Was there making signs? Was there going into the community to knock on doors or trying to recruit other people to the movement or anything like that?
No. We did make signs and that type of thing. Get people to do that. And there were some people that did go into the community to knock on doors to get other, you know, other people involved.
Uh-huh.
But mostly it was done through the churches, you know, Mass Methodist Church.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And was there, okay, now were there any times in the movement when things got sort of hot? You know, when you felt like it was a difficult situation or a dangerous situation or where you were mistreated, you know, by white proprietors or police or...
Yeah. Well, only during the sit-ins itself.
Mm-hmm.
There was, I remember one time that we went to the Watts Motel and they threw cold ice water on you. I really didn't have any bad experience with it. I do know that some people was kicked,
uh-huh.
that type thing. But for it's a lot of harsh brutality, I don't think there was a lot of that.
Well, now, isn't there's a picture of you in one of the books.
Right.
Now, what's that a picture of?
That's at the Watts Motel.
That's at the Watts Motel, mm-hmm. and you're sort of holding, who is it? James Bushy.
Yes.
Why were you holding him?
Well, when they threw the water on us, you know, first thing we did, we jumped, and, you know, like I jumped up, and I guess I was, like, falling.
Uh-huh.
He kind of caught me, that type thing.
Uh-huh.
Can you imagine a whole bucket of ice water? Oh, yeah.
Was this in the wintertime or the summertime?
It was like fall.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it was I think it was more fall year.
Because
It wasn't where you had your, you know, heavy coats on, because I think I had on something like a London fall. You know. So it wasn't, you know, real cold.
Mm-hmm. And, like, if you got involved in, say, in the middle of 1963, and the movement moved from street demonstrations to sit-ins, like at the Merchants Association, was in, I think, July of 1963, and then were you part of the thing where they formed the core chapter? After,
core.
Well, do you remember? First, there was the Committee on Open Business.
Right.
Right. Now, do you remember when they tried to vote Harold Foster out of the movement,
mm-hmm.
or out of the leadership?
No, I don't remember them voting him out.
What do you remember about?
I do remember CORE coming in,
uh-huh.
to, you know, to do something, but I don't remember.
You don't remember ever that there was some kind of conflict between white people, white liberals, and some of the older black people, and younger black high school students, and some of the white college students like Pat Cusick and John Dunn. There was a conflict within the Committee for Open Business. I mean, at some point that organization ended, didn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know why?
I remember that the organization ended, but no.
Don't know why. Uh-huh. And do you remember an organization called CURED? CURED?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you do remember when CORE came in. Now, how did that happen, or why, or what?
I don't remember that, you know, about it, but I do remember, you
mm-hmm.
know, the name CORE.
Okay. And were you a member of CORE, or of that organization?
Not to say that I was a member, I don't know.
In other words, you didn't sign a card, but,
oh, no.
but you participated in everything. Now, did you participate in the movement a lot? Like, every day? How did it...
Every day enough to flunk out of school.
you flunked out of school because of
As
the movement?
As a freshman, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me about that. I mean...
I didn't ever go to class.
Uh-huh. Because you were, your life became the movement? I mean, you would, like, be in demonstrations just about every day, or
mm-hmm.
meetings? Every day.
Yeah, and when it was time to go to class, most of the time I didn't go to class because, say, on the campus, we always, you know, we talk about, you know, what we're going to do that night, and, you know, just fail to go to class.
Uh-huh.
So,
And was there many other people who devoted themselves to the movement as much as that, so that
oh,
it
yeah.
sort of took over their lives?
Oh, yeah. There was quite a few
uh-huh.
that was on campus during that time that did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, North Carolina Central.
Mm-hmm.
Were there other people... at North Carolina Central who were active in Chapel Hill? Or were they all other,
yeah.
rest of them?
Well, one of the guys, we always rode the bus together, Charles Edwards.
Uh-huh.
He was a part of the movement here in Chapel Hill.
Was that because he was from Chapel Hill? He was. His
he
family
was
here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And... Did what kind of support? What I mean, in the sit-ins and the demonstrations, some people have told me that the Lincoln High School students were like the core of the movement or the backbone of the movement. Does that make sense to you, or do you think it was broader than that?
I don't know that we really have. You know, like I was out of school at that time. And I don't remember that many Lincoln High School students, you know, really being involved.
Mm-hmm.
I know Ruby and Thomas Mason's. You know, there was a few, but I don't think it was... Hey, it could have been 30 of them that's been to, you know, the school itself, but I don't know.
Okay.
It could have been. They could have been, you know, because there was Jane Brady and... I really don't know.
What kind of support did you get from the rest of the black community in Chapel Hill?
Oh, they were for everything that you was doing, you know. that was okay, you know, just be careful, that type thing. But, force them, a lot of them getting involved. Now, they supported you in doing it, but them getting involved.
Them being who? Older people?
Older people in the community.
So they supported, but they didn't get involved that much. Sometimes they'd come out to the mass meetings,
right.
though, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they'd march?
Occasionally.
Occasionally yeah. they'd march? And but they wouldn't get arrested or, you know, all of that. Now, why do you think that was? And was that an issue in the movement? Did you feel like they needed to be involved?
Well, they probably needed to be involved, but no, it wasn't a big issue. About getting the older people.
Why do you think they weren't involved?
I don't have any idea, because I know my aunts, you know, they did not get involved. I did have one aunt, you know, that she marched, and I think she was in one sit-in. But, never thought of it, you know, why they weren't involved.
Now, were there any ways, we talked about that it seemed as though women did not step out in front to speak that much or to be part of the formal elected leadership of the movement. Did that cause any problems?
No.
Were there other ways that women were involved in the movement in ways that were any different from the men?
No.
Everybody was in it together, pretty much doing the same thing. And see how much tape we got here. Did you go to trial? Where you were arrested a number of times, right?
Yes.
And did you have to go to trial in Hillsborough?
Yes.
What was that like?
You just went and you pleaded no contest, and then you was actually put on probation for, you know, whatever number of years. That was it.
Did that affect your life much? Did the probation say that you weren't allowed to be in civil rights activities?
No.
What did it mean to be on probation?
You just had to report, give them a report every 3 months or so. And you just fill out a paper and send it in. And that was the extent of the probation. No probation officer never came. That type of thing.
Some people went to jail?
What? After?
Yeah, in 1964, after the trials.
Who? Not that I know of. I don't know. I don't remember anybody going to jail for it.
Yeah, a number of people went to jail. Some people were sentenced to over a year in jail.
Well, not me.
Quentin Baker.
No, I was not.
Quentin Baker and Rosemary actually went to jail. And
was Harold Pat.
Well, no. Harold was not in town then. Quite a few people, Pat Cusick and John Dunn.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I think maybe LaVert. I can't remember if LaVert, you know, some of the people who were from different civil rights organizations. Now, you did have quite a few people helping the Chapel Hill movement who were from out of town, didn't you?
Yes.
And how did that happen? I mean, where did they come from?
I don't know how they came in, this type thing. But
they got
I do remember they was here.
And how did you feel about that? What kind of role did they play?
They took the leadership role. It was fine. I mean, they was the one that got things started, so... And the outcome was good, so.
Well, tell me more about the outcome. How do you, what kinds of things do you feel were really positive about the movement here in Chapel Hill?
That you was able to do the things that you really had set out to to accomplish. You was able to go into any restaurant that you wanted to go into, eat at any lunch counter that you wanted. Yeah, no problem.
Mm-hmm. So you feel like it changed those kinds of things quite a bit.
It changed those things quite a bit.
And what about jobs? Did it open up much in the way of new job opportunities for people?
I'm sure it did. Because I don't know, you know, how many people had tried to get jobs at different places prior to civil rights and could not get those jobs.
What kind of jobs?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these statistics on that.
But now, did black people work as, say, clerks at the hospital before civil rights?
I don't know.
You don't know that much about
know.
The hospital?
Because, yeah.
Uh-huh. But you felt...
I wasn't really at work in... Well, I did start working at the hospital when I was a senior in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in the dietary department. Now,
you worked during high school at the hospital in dietary?
Mm-hmm.
How many hours?
Probably about three hours.
A day?
About two hours a day.
Uh-huh.
At five more to seven.
Uh-huh.
And then I would work sometime on the weekend. But the relationship with the people there was great. Couldn't ask for no better, you know, person.
You're talking about the supervisors?
Uh-huh.
They were white?
Some white, some was black.
Uh-huh. But it was a pretty good working situation.
Very good working situation.
Uh-huh. Okay. And you said that you flunked out of school your freshman year.
Then I went to business school.
Then you went to business school?
Yeah.
So you didn't finish college?
Well, I really didn't flunk out my freshman year. I flunked out my sophomore year. And then I went to business college. So I really went to school like 2-3 years.
Uh-huh. So you graduated in 62. You went to college in the fall of 62
and
63. And then your sophomore year, you got really involved in civil rights. You flunked out. You didn't go back to college.
Right.
And then you went to business school. What kind of business school did you go to?
Town classes. It was an extension of the university.
Extension.
It was downtown.
Here in Chapel Hill?
Here in Chapel Hill.
Town classes, it was called?
Town classes.
Was that something that was had always existed, or was that set up as a result of civil rights?
No, it had always existed.
Uh-huh. So, and then you went to school how long doing that?
A year.
A year?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got a degree in?
Business.
Business. And then what?
And I started working.
Where did you start working?
At Blue Cross.
At Blue Cross. And you've been there ever since?
Right, been there ever since. I started in June of 66.
Uh-huh.
Got out of school May. And started working there June 1st.
And now what's your position there now?
Supervisor.
Of?
National Billing.
National Billing.
Mm-hmm.
Supervisor of National Billing. Billing.
Billing.
Uh-huh. How many people do you supervise?
15.
Uh-huh. Now, I told someone the other day that I had talked to you and that you were a supervisor at Blue Cross Blue Shield, and they said something, she must be one of the few black people left.
Well, there's quite a few out there, I tell you that.
Uh-huh. But there hadn't been any problem at Blue Cross Blue Shield with race relations?
I won't say that there have not been any problems with race relations. There was one time that I filed suit against the Cross for discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
They chose this lady over me as supervisor, which the complaint was actually dropped after. Going through. Well, I guess we went through it probably about 2 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
We went in, you know, and we dropped it.
You dropped it eventually?
Yeah.
You had a lawyer and everything?
We went, well, the guy that was representing us died.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, the, this was part of the ECC, let's see. And he died, and then the next person, you know, I really don't think they had the interest that he had.
Uh-huh.
And they felt that, you know, we should just drop it because it really wasn't race-related, that the possession was really given to someone else. So,
did you believe that?
No, I don't believe that.
Uh-huh. When was this that you filed the suit, roughly?
Roughly, probably in 72, uh-huh. maybe.
Uh-huh. Well, now, do you have, you're married?
No.
Uh-huh. Do you have children?
One child.
And you told me before, but you got one child who's 21, right?
Yeah.
Boy or girl?
Girl.
Girl. And she's...
That's her.
That's her.
That's her. Look at that way.
That's her.
That's her.
And where is she now?
She's at the University of Greensboro.
UNCG.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how do you feel like civil rights movement, your participation in it, affected your life? Or and also, how do you think it, looking at it from the perspective of today, you know, like 30 years later?
If a change had came about, that we wouldn't be in the positions that we're in now, that we'd be still out struggling to get jobs that's equal to, you know, anyone else. So I really think that the movement itself, you know, really helped.
Mm-hmm.
The Triangle area,
mm-hmm.
because I do know that, you know, a lot of places are still struggling, where Chapel Hill is a good place, you know, a better place. I won't say it's a good place, but it better than it was. So I don't have any problems with people.
How do you feel like this is the community that was called Potter's Field back in the early 60s, right? Do you know? You don't know. Did you ever hear that?
I've heard of Potter's Field and Knowles Development. And
Knowles, right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So,
but these terms, since you've lived here, this has been called Northside.
Right.
How long have you lived here?
About 27 years.
Uh-huh. And how is this community doing?
It's great. It's nice. It's quiet.
Uh-huh.
Everybody around me just got us retired, so.
Uh-huh.